Hello and welcome to PCB Chat, where we talk with experts across the printed circuit design, manufacturing, and electronics supply chain. I'm Mike Buto, Editor-in-Chief of PCDNF and Circuits Assembly. Today we will look at what companies in the electronics industry are doing, both strategically and tactically, to adjust to today's sourcing and manufacturing climate. My guests are Hassan Tawawala, the Business Unit Director of the Printed Circuits Solution Division at Molex in Naperville, Illinois. Hassan has spent 30 years in the printed circuit and electronics industry. He's a graduate of the University of Oklahoma with a Master's of Science in Industrial Engineering, and his professional experience includes quality management, operations, project and product management, and marketing. Also joining us is David Paulos. David has spent 22 years in manufacturing, including the last 14 at Molex, where he supports procurement activities globally while managing supply assurance, price negotiations, supplier identification, and overall vendor performance. He is a certified supply chain professional by the American Production and Inventory Control Society. So thank you for joining us today on PCB Chat.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, obviously there's been tremendous upheaval in the age-old manner of doing business, with less face-to-face and way more uncertainty. What I'd like to do today is get beyond speculation and dig into what's really happening in the supply chain. I'll start by asking, are customers showing any notable changes to the way they order? For example, are inventory levels changing, and if so, how?
I do believe customers are taking notice of what is happening around us and are changing their habits of purchasing and procuring components. It has been a rude awakening for many who decided to be more lean what was required. And now with this panic going on, with the interruptions in supply chain as well as logistics, it's becoming very evident that you have to keep stock on hand, let it be at the customer, at the supplier, or the hubs that may be distributors. You have to revisit the supply chain and really make sure that you are protected in events such as this.
David, you spent 22 years in manufacturing, and you've currently are doing a lot with procurement activities. So what's your take on this?
Well, definitely, yes, things are changing. Customers are probably now more than ever, you know, having direct contact with not only with the sales team, but also looking through the procurement team and trying to get more details about what's going on, what's happening through the entire supply chain. So yes, I think things has been customer has are changing the way they conduct their business. They are preparing. They are thinking ahead in some of the ways possible, and normally, yeah, interacting even more with a broader people within companies and trying to get more information on what's happening. If something pop up, suddenly they are prompt to go and ask the questions, which probably in the past hasn't happened in this kind of way that today is occurring.
Hassan, you mentioned that inventory levels are changing. Could you put a number on it? Like, are they going up by 5%, 10%, or is it really just not that straightforward?
You know, it's really not that straightforward. It all depends on what is the component or the device that you're talking about. If it is anything to do with electronics, those lead times for electronic components has increased. They were bad earlier. They're getting worse now. So for those, I would say that you really have to evaluate where what you want to keep in stock, finished goods versus components. But if you're talking about other raw materials that you may be using, adhesives, rubber keypads, if you're looking at PCBs, copper flex circuits, those things you can establish a pattern or speak to your suppliers and really get engaged with your suppliers to understand what's happening. You may be buying a component they may be buying more raw materials that could be a cause. So unless you really look through the whole supply chain, work with your suppliers and their suppliers, and get to that level of what is at risk, I don't think you will be able to make a determination of should you keep stock of 5%, 10%, or even 100%.
Any sense that customers are starting to do some double or even triple ordering just to protect themselves?
Absolutely. We saw, as soon as this happened, we saw customers really pulling in whatever they had on order, asking us to deliver as soon as possible. You know, Molex was really good at this. We have clients all over the world. And when this started in China, we already informed all our customers here in the U.S. to take heed of this fact and order what you needed to order, be prepared. So working on that front, we were able to get some of our customers to really pre-order what they were going to order for second quarter. We had really a lot of customers place their orders where we had a record booking month in March. So we were able to really drive that activity and have the customers place their orders. And then, of course, taking those orders and filtering it right through our supply chain really did help. But we're not out of the woods. We still have issues with our suppliers, and they have issues with their suppliers that we are constantly working on.
I'm hearing that customers are looking beyond their tier one suppliers in search of greater transparency up the supply chain. What have you seen in that respect? Are customers asking about the status of Molex's raw material suppliers?
Yes, they are going far and beyond that they used to be. They are asking more questions, more deeper questions about what's going on, what's happening into our tier two suppliers a lot of the time. So yes, and you know, we conduct, as a company, we conduct, we ensure that the business and supply chains are maintained in a lawful and social responsibility way. So we do several campaigns as well through the year, trying to get more information, secure our supply chain. And yes, they are constantly asking for more and more details.
If I could add to that, on a recent issue that we had with supplying components for the medical product that was going into a ventilator, not only were we dealing with our customer, the customer's customer, so two levels up, the customers were getting engaged with us. So at times we were on a conference call with three customer on the call, and then we would be on the call with the suppliers and their sub-suppliers. So we had to have a very open and transparent relationship when it came to delivering these medical devices. It really showed that if you work together, you'll be able to work on a solution. And in this case, two levels up, the customer had some relationship with a sub-supplier, and they had that sub-supplier work with them and deliver the product to us by utilizing the knowledge base that they had of that sub-supplier. And that was key to really delivering the product on time. Otherwise, if we were directly speaking to our supplier, we may not have been able to help them resolve the issues where the knowledge was residing with our customer's customer. So things like this really, one, bring home the point of an open organization and the fact that if you work together, you can solve problems a lot faster.
So I want to follow up on the implications of that more in a moment, but let me first ask, is Molex considering any changes to its own sourcing strategies?
So I'd let David answer that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think on changing, but definitely follow or procurement leaders' ongoing strategies. I think we have proven that really positive results while facing these kind of supply chain risk situations. So I think other than changing, probably just, I will say, adjusting and keep the lead focusing on the leadership of our leaders. And Amolix has been doing, I think, a really good job in the past years preparing for these kind of situations. And I will say that we are getting better every day, you know, using technologies, using whatever is available. And I wouldn't say changing, but probably just adjust and make sure that we keep the agility that we are pretending to keep for ongoing activities.
Hassan, you mentioned that the customers two levels up have been on calls with you now. So where do we stand in terms of the industry software? Is it keeping up to the degree of transparency and visibility that is required, or are those tools that Molex has had to develop in-house?
Interesting question. Never thought of it from that point of view, but right now I would say that it is not a software or a tool that we have that we can do this. It's on a case-by-case basis. But I'm sure somewhere in the industry, somebody's looking at this and saying, how do we create this open organization where, you know, you have a supply chain through and through and everybody's on the same page addressing the same issue. I think it's going to take time before we get there, but it takes something like a pandemic to really get people to think differently.
You know, I think back to the late 90s, and I had a conversation with the fellow that at the time was the head of supply chain for VIA Systems back in its heyday. And he said that they were working on a system whereby they could see five levels in either direction. Basically, the customer, or really it's five levels. So the end customer could see all the way back into the mines. I'm not really sure we're there yet or even close to being there yet, but maybe you can enlighten me and then maybe elaborate insofar as if we're not there yet, will something like this get us there? And do we even need to be to that degree of visibility?
So I'll go first and then I'll let David comment on it since he is part of the Molex Global Supply Chain Initiative. I think it is going to take effect to a degree, and that is why Molex decided to separate the procurement from sourcing. Sourcing is a completely different function than procurement. So the day-to-day purchasing has to be different and not bog down the decision makers and the leadership, as David suggested earlier in his conversation. The leadership needs to understand today's problems, anticipate the future problems, and then come up with methods of how do you resolve those problems efficiently, and of course, while you're making money. So I think Molex decided this in 1999 when we decided to adopt SAP as our EPR system. Clearly, that allowed us to look through to the plant level of when the product was being made and when the work orders were being issued. And it did allow us to get very agile, flexible, and be able to communicate effectively to the customer of when we'll be able to deliver. I think you take that and now you bring in the suppliers, understanding their systems, trying to navigate that into their sub-supplier system, and then going upwards into our customers. I think there is a lot of knowledge sharing that you'd have to do, which I'm not sure everybody is willing to do up front. If you really want an open organization, we all have to be going in the same boat, in the same direction. I think it may be too idealistic to think that we could get everybody to do that. So I agree. It's a great idea. And as you said that in the 90s, you met with someone who had that idea. But to try to bring everybody on the same page at the same time with the same goals, it's going to be hard.
Yep. From my side, I would say that we are not there yet, obviously, because, that's a really constant discussion along supply chain forums. So, yeah, everyone is looking to and embrace that kind of mentality. And I think that's definitely needed for what we have seen and for what we are probably going to keep facing in the future. So yes, I think everyone is committed and embracing that mentality on looking not only your tier one supplier, but looking even more and see what's the problems and how those problems can at the end affect your entire supply chain. And I think that's a really good discussion. And obviously, a lot of companies are doing more than others. But at the end, I think that's a really good thing to hear, that we all are going forward to the same, the same mentality, which is to control and see more deeper or entire supply of goods and information.
Now, I'll close by asking, if we look 18 to 24 months down the road, in what ways will the supply chain look different than it does today?
I would say that, this is a new normal. So what's going to happen? How it's going to look or entire supply chain? I think that's a pretty good question. And the only answer that I can bring to the table is definitely embrace, industry 4.0 tools, our mentality, and keep playing with those new technologies and make it as a part of your regular business processes. So technology and our products and definitely, taking digital procurement as a continuous strategy to enhance our procurement and processes. So I think that's how we should be looking towards that new mentality for the coming months.
Yes, so if I could add to that, this pandemic has definitely brought to light the susceptibility of everyone. I mean, this is not a business continuation plan that you could have thought of. Molex has business continuation plans, but it didn't matter. No matter where you looked, everybody was having difficulties. There were, shutdowns, complete shutdowns in countries. And even now, we are seeing that as the spread continued to different parts of the world, the shutdowns continued. So it didn't matter if you were saying, okay, I have a global structure, I could produce it in China and I could produce it in the US. We tried that. We have the ability to, at least our business unit has the ability to manufacture in China as well as in the US, and we did. But if you don't get the components, there's nothing you can do. So I said, I think what you're going to find is that the business continuation plans are going to look different now. That may require you to stockpile components that you know are not something that you will be able to quickly procure from another supplier. We're in custom manufacturing of custom goods, our business unit. Not all of Molex. Molex does do standard products too. But for custom products, I think you're going to have that issue. The supply chain is going to come back and tell you, hey, we've learned our lesson. We advise you to give us a forecast. That forecast, we will be making a product to that forecast, but you have to share the risk. So I think the supply chain is going to come back and saying, okay, you just can't keep beating on us and we beat on our suppliers. You have to work together. And that is going to be the discussion that takes place going forward. Right up front, when the agreements are being signed, how are we going to manage a pandemic such as this? And what risks are you willing to take as a supplier, and what risks are you willing to take as a customer, will be brought to the surface much sooner.
Well, I believe that that notion of shared risk has some profound implications for the electronic supply chain. And, you know, it's certainly something that maybe we've been edging toward for a while, but if we were actually to get there, I think that's where we would truly see some real partnerships evolve, less transactional and truly, business, not just manufacturing relationships, but business relationships, throughout the supply chain. So, knock on wood, we could actually get there. And it's too bad it took a pandemic to kind of push us in that direction. That brings us to a close to today's episode. I'd like to thank my guest, Hassan Tawawala and David Palos of Molex.
Thank you for the opportunity, and please stay safe.
For PCB Chat, this is Mike Buteau. Have a nice day.